This is Matt Verboys from La La Land Records, and you've entered the La La Land Lounge on Geekcast Radio.
Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
Hello and welcome to the La La Land Lounge. This is episode 9 of the La La Land Lounge. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And we are back celebrating 25 years of Batman the Animated Series. If you all listen to episode 6 of I can't even talk tonight. I feel like the drunk Joker over here. If you listen to episode... Wow. Oh, God.
Well, this is the laughing fish.
Yes. If you listen to episode 6, you'll know that we are going through all 4 volumes of the La La Land Records released CDs of Batman the Animated Series. We're going to be talking about volume 2 tonight. And literally years in the making, La La Land Records and Warner Brothers proves the wait was worth it in this amazing 4-CD set of previously unreleased music from arguably the greatest animated television series of all time. Batman the Animated Series, produced by M.V. Gerard and mastered by James Nelson, this second volume 4-CD set takes you through a treasure trove of astounding orchestral scores. Music that rivals any blockbuster feature film. Composer Shirley Walker, Harvey R. Cohen, Carlos Rodriguez, Lola Tormanos, Michael McQuestion, Carl Swander Johnson, and others are musically represented here, as well as Danny Elfman's iconic theme. The 36-page CD booklet features exclusive in-depth liner notes from writer John Takacs. This was a limited edition of 3,500 units. You can still buy it on La La Land's website, apparently. It's still available. $60. So,
wow.
Not bad. For four discs, 100 and something, I think it's like 183 tracks or something like that. But yeah, it is still available on La La Land's website, lalalandrecords.com. And this one includes music from the following episodes. It includes the main title by Danny Elfman. It includes the Beware the Gray Ghost episode. The Cat and the Claw, Part 1 and 2. It also has bonus tracks from Cat and the Claw. Nothing to Fear. Heart of Ice. Easily one of the best episodes of the series. And then it has the extended Danny Elfman theme as well. Disc 2 includes Appointment in Crime Alley, Mad as a Hatter, The Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne, I've Got Batman in My Basement, Feet of Clay, Parts 1 and 2. Disc 3 includes a MIDI version of the Batman the Animated Series theme. This was done by Danny Elfman and Shirley Walker. I love that theme. I think that theme is cool.
You know what it reminds me of? The 1990s, like, almost kind of like cell phones and...
Yep.
How, like, everything online, it wasn't an MP3, it was a MIDI file.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
I know, right?
Because I'm like, should we even use that?
Oh, it'll be used at some point. That's one thing about Batman the Animated Series, folks, that I absolutely love, that they have so many different versions of both the Danny Elfman theme and later the Shirley Walker version of the theme. And my two favorite versions of the main theme are the MIDI version and the piano version. The piano version without sound effects is eerie as hell, and it's awesome. So disc three includes Almost Got 'Em, another great episode of the series, If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich?, The Demon's Quest, parts one and two, The Laughing Fish. And then disc four has the BTS main theme with sound effects. So basically what you saw when you would watch an episode. Shadow of the Bat, parts one and two. Harvey and Ivy. That would be a little weird. Harley and Ivy. Read My Lips and Fire from Olympus. Going through this again, my favorite bits, and when I say bits, I mean not just the scores, but honestly, the bits for me are the motif or the source cues. Like if you look at, which one is it? It's I think it's if you're so smart, why aren't you rich? It's the one where it's the Riddler. And he's got, Robin and Batman in the maze of the maze of the Minotaur. That's what it is. Because we remember the old Hand of Fate thing. Remember that episode? If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich?
Mm-hmm.
It's the one where the Riddler tries to get them in the video game thing of the maze of the Minotaur.
The one where Commissioner Gordon and Robin go in there and
mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite episodes of the series.
Yeah. I remember watching this episode, years and years and years ago and being like, I want the Hand of Fate motif theme. I want the Wasteland motif. I want the musical puzzle. I want the Riddle of the Minotaur source, and we have them all here. Even the Griffin theme is here. 9 seconds is the Griffin theme. That's what I love about these La La Land Records big limited edition releases, because they do their damnedest to bring us every single piece, not just the actual orchestral tracks and music that goes along with the show, but even just the little things. Like later on in The Laughing Fish, we get the Joker's fish song. We get his door chimes. We get some other stuff as well from that. Like we get his talk show music and that kind of stuff. And that's just so cool to me that they, had the mindset to include as much as they possibly could. And getting clean, pristine music sources from this stuff is great. When you were listening to this, what was the first episode score that really grabbed you?
There's actually quite a bit, but I would have to say the Grey Ghost stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because I really like the Grey Ghost.
Right.
Because it's very like, it shows Batman going through the same thing we do when we watch him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The Grey Ghost is a great, great episode. And the fact that they were able to get Adam West to come back, or to actually come in and do the Grey Ghost. So essentially you have two Batmen on the same screen. That's awesome. For me, the score that probably grabbed me the most when I first heard it was probably... it's gotta be Almost Got 'Em. Because I love that episode so much. I just really do. That episode is just so fun. It's got all the villains telling stories. It's got, I hit him with a rock. Well, it was a really big rock,
What's funny about that episode is I have Almost Got 'Em, and I love all the soundtracks to that. Between the Almost Got 'Em, the Bad Penny, Laugh-O-Meter, the Joker Talk Show, the Bumper, the Just for Laughs. what makes it interesting for me is because I used to actually have a book of this when I was a kid. So it was one of my favorite ones to read, but it was also one of my favorite episodes that I'd seen as a kid. Because back then, the Joker was not my favorite. The Riddler was. The Riddler still has a soft spot because he's about the one of the few that is almost Batman's equal in intellect. Which, sorely, he's the only one missing from this episode. But it's still a strong episode for 22 minutes of having all of those villains fighting Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And getting all those stories in, it's a pretty strong story for all of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it is. And it's, as I said, it's just so fun. And because the whole point is, all of the villains have an almost got 'em story. And the episode, they go, each of them go through theirs, and Joker, of course, in the beginning, well, I'm gonna go last because mine's the best, that kind of thing, and. Even at the end, Catwoman has an almost got him story. So there's that.
Yeah, but hers is because she wants to sleep with him.
Obviously, yes. Mm-hmm.
Almost got him into my closet.
Oh, God. But no, I think Stuart Balcom did an amazing job with the music on Almost Got Him. It's so fun, so upbeat, and there's not a lot of times where I can say some of the BTAS music is upbeat, because a lot of these episodes are very heavy. Like, you look at Heart of Ice,
Heart of Ice is dark.
Yeah, it's very dark, and it's supposed to be, and I'm not complaining that it's dark at all, but Todd Haynes and Shirley Walker both worked on that one, and the Arkham Asylum track is by far, you know, kind of reminds me of old Barbara's line from Return of the Joker. Arkham hung open like a rotting wound. But just listening to that and feeling the emotion of the Heart of Ice episode of what's behind Mr. Freeze's actions and turning that character into more than just a bank robber was so great.
I love that they did that with the character. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is just so crazy. You look at Appointment in Crime Alley, which is also, it's done by Stuart Balcom again, and, you know, this is Bruce going back, you know, looking at his parents' death and that kind of thing, and this is the episode where Leslie Tompkins gets held captive, and it has everything to do with Bruce's and Leslie's relationship, friendship, that kind of thing, and the music in it. It's not as dark as Heart of Ice, and it's not as upbeat as Almost Got Him, but it's right there in the middle. And everything about it, like that sub-main title for Appointment in Crime Alley, that's just plain sad. It really is. And it's sad in a good way, because it brings you into the character of Batman and Bruce Wayne, both of them, as they're going through this emotional journey of going into their past.
I enjoyed that as well. Except for the fact that I'm not a big one for Batman's boo-hoo moments, because like I like him when he's, and I understand that's part of his characterization and stuff, but I prefer him as the brooding Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the brooding Dark Knight is always, you know, the best characterization for him. And then, you know, we have something like The Demon's Quest, which Michael McQuestion worked on, and he did the music for that, and giving...
Creepy!
Mm-hmm. Very, very creepy. you know, this is the episode with Ubu.
Oob. Yep. And then the creepy voice of Ra's al Ghul.
Good old David Warner. Yep. Absolutely. But the music that Michael put into the Demon's Quest Part 1, because it's him on Part 1 and Harvey R. Cohen on Part 2, the Calcutta Alley fight, that song, that music cue for that part of the episode is just so fun. It's fun, it's epic, and it's showing you with every punch just how well Bruce can fight. And then in Part 2 with Harvey R. Cohen doing the music, The Parted Lovers, Goodbye Beloved with him and Talia. Oh man, talk about tugging at your heartstrings.
Yeah, I enjoy it for the fact that Batman's actually got to deal with stuff without his utility belt and without, you know, because Ra's is like, oh, you will be my successor after I test you and your brains and your wit and your brawn, mostly because he wants to steal his body, but eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember watching it originally. It's not one of my favorite episodes. But I appreciate it for the introduction of Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
The music, yeah. The music is like one thing that, nevertheless, even if the episode is weak, mm-hmm. or it's not one I care for, the music is always one that I can go back to and say that I enjoyed.
Absolutely.
Because the music, to me, is actually what makes the episodes for the most part. So, like, if you have great writing and then you have the voiceover and then you have the. You have the music, the soundtrack to it. I mean, it's just wham bam.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where the music adds to the overall storyline of the episode. It actually enhances it. And there are times where, again, why I'm so happy that we actually have these scores now, so we can hear the music outside of the voiceover, outside of any sound effects, any explosions and things like that. Because while most of the time music is used to enhance a scene, there are some times that sound effects can diminish the music. And I'm not saying anything against anyone that worked on this stuff, but that's just, and it's not just this, it's anything. If you've got a giant explosion and a musical cue at the same time, one of them is going to drown out the other. And that's not necessarily a good thing. With this, being able to listen to these tracks outside of the show, as I said at the beginning of the episode here, the podcast, that it brings you into, it reminds you of what, oh yeah, I remember that moment when Batman kicked Ra's in the face, or when Robin, you know, went off, you know, acrobating and whatever else to save somebody and whatever else. Just, it's one of those things where having the scores, and I've said this before on the show, for me, I can close my eyes and I can listen to any of these and I can be pulled into the episode. That's just the way that I do listen to soundtracks and scores. Other ones off of here that we enjoy, obviously, The Laughing Fish, because the Joker has an insane scheme, apparently.
Talk about a happy meal.
That's fishy right there, folks.
Well, he says something to the effect of,
I should try using it in cattle, too. Joker burgers. Talk about a happy meal.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good at all. But no, I just, this set is a must-have for any BTAS fan. because this music is just timeless. It really is. And how they get some of the sound, like, you don't often think of orchestral music getting certain sounds out of things, like, you know, door chimes, or, you know, you don't flash to a guitar sound when you hear, like, the Hand of Fate motif. Obviously, that's not a guitar, but I'm saying that these musicians have done so well with this music and creating something out of, not necessarily nothing, but out of basically thin air. And it just adds so much enjoyment for me to watch the series again. And one of the things I love about the La La Land sets is they do them by episode score. So they, you know, as I said earlier, you know, the way these are broken down is by episode. So you'll have, say, on disc 4, we start off with the Batman Animated Series main title with sound effects by Danny Elfman. We then have tracks 2 through 16 are all about Shadow of the Bat parts 1 and 2. So tracks 2 through 6 are Shadow of the Bat part 1. Tracks 7 to 14 are Shadow of the Bat part 2. Just absolutely love how they've laid those out. And I know they're going to continue to do this when we get to Volume 3 and Volume 4. I cannot wait to see what they're going to be doing with the New Adventures of Batman and Robin, because I do know that New Adventures, the Adventures of Batman and Robin are going to be coming at some point, I'm sure. I mean, they're not going to, I mean, next year will mark 10 years since the Volume 1 release. The Volume 1 release was in 2008. So they're not going to release all four of these volumes for the first 65 episodes of the series in just over 10 years to not continue releasing more of the DCAU music. And I can't wait to hear what else they've got in store.
Oh, yeah.
Any other final thoughts from you on Volume 2?
The Harley and Ivy stuff was pretty good. The Welcome to Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good too. I guess during the Demon's Quest, I do have these saved. I do like the Demon's Quest and the Lazarus Pit, Revitalized Demon.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that too. No, I mean, there's a lot of good episodes in this, the soundtrack. There's a few, not so much, but there's, you know, it's based on episode, not
the
soundtrack.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there are episodes in this run that I probably don't watch a lot.
But thankfully, the episodes that are actually really good are on this a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I mean, I've already named off a bunch of them, but it's one of those things where out of the scores that are on here, I would say I like 10 of the episodes pretty much that are on here. So, you know, and that's a lot of music, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So, I think that's going to do it for us here in the La La Land Lounge. What have you got coming up? What have you been up to?
I've been playing a lot of Star Trek Online, and going to have a new Altered Geek and Future Imperfect coming out.
Awesome. You can head over to geekcastradio.com, thisweekingeek.net for all the content that we do. Let's see, coming up next in the La La Lounge, I don't know. We may just go ahead and do BTAS Volume 3. I'm not sure yet. We'll have to figure that out. It's either going to be that or... if I can find the time to watch Bad Blood and Justice League versus Teen Titans, we might do that score, because I have that score from La La Land Records as well. We might even be doing some Trek stuff. Who knows? Because I've got some Trek stuff over on my shelf, too. So
I like Trek.
I just don't know just yet what's going to be coming up here in the La La Land Lounge. I do know at some point this year, Geekcast Radio, we are going to be recording and releasing episode 91 to 99, which is the nine top nines of the 90s. So that's going to be coming up as well. I promise, folks, it is happening this year. It was supposed to happen last year. Just life kind of, you know that old saying, you know, when you suck the marrow out of life, you're not supposed to choke on the bone. Well, last year I kind of choked on the bone. So, you know, getting back up on the horse and all that good stuff and riding the Batwing off into the sunset. But BTAS Volume 2, 0 to 5, what would you give it?
I give it a 4.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'll give it a 4. I really enjoy it. There are tracks that I can go back to all the time. As I said earlier, what I love most about the Volume 2 score is the motif stuff, the source music, and things like that. Just absolutely amazing. So thank you to La La Land Records. Thank you to MV Gerhard, Matt Verboys over there, John Takas. Get the guy's name right. I've talked to him twice. everybody over at La La Land Records, Shirley Walker, may she rest in peace. All of the other composers, Lolita Romanis, Michael McQuistion, Stuart Balcom, Harvey R. Cohen, you guys all are epic and amazing and awesome. Can't wait to hear more music from all of you in BTAS Volume 3. So this has been the La La Land Lounge, where soundtracks live. Head on over to lalalandrecords.com. Catch you next time, folks.
Start up again. So if I missed you the first time, we'll do it again.